It is that time of the week. One of the best parts about the Titan season is that we get to talk to TD every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Let's welcome in TD to the program now on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teron, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, I'm interested for your thoughts on the running game. We've talked about that a lot this week. They are dead last in the NFL at 78.9 yards rushing per game. If not for Ward the other day against the Texans, and albeit I realize the Texans are a really good defense, but it's been a problem all year long. They just can't run the ball. How surprised are you by that, given the investment in their offensive line? I know it looks like Pollard has taken a clear step back this year. What do you make of how the Titans running game has gotten to this point where it's as bad as it's been so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's dead last in the league, you know, as you mentioned. And I mean, I had a story post this morning about the rushing attack, and it's just crazy how far it's fallen since Derrick Henry has been gone. And I mean, naturally, you lose one of the best running backs in the game, it's going to fall. But I mean, we're talking about going from consistently in the top five rushing attacks to all of a sudden being dead last. And you look at, there's so many things that add up to it, and getting behind schedule with the false start, you know, a lineman slipping or a receiver not going and getting a linebacker or a safety. Like, there's so many things that keep it from happening. And they just got to find a way to get it going early, and that's the big thing.
So, TD, I wanted to get your big picture assessment of, you know, the Simmons comments after the game, the Latham false starts, the Key and Ward, the other Ward, talking about young guys, you know, things like that. But obviously, a lot of things, I guess, point to Latham. I know Jeff then talked yesterday about, you know, like he thinks it's going well. They're having their own conversations as well. First of all, I mean, did you look at this as largely about Latham and Sweat more than that? And do you think that I guess that the message is getting through, if that's the case?
Yeah, I think Latham is definitely one of the guys that they're talking about, and it's okay, because like I said yesterday on Next Man Up, is like, to he much is given, much is desired. Latham is a very talented young man, and these guys know that, so they want more out of him, naturally, you know, so it's understandable. But then you also, you look at some of the other situations, you know, whether it's Tavondre Sweat or another young guy. Look, they just want the most out of these talented players, and they want to win, you know, bottom line. And, I mean, when you go 1-9, you have all the losing that this organization has had over the last, you know, year. Plus, it's going to be frustrating. So it's natural. I think guys are starting to take it. You look at Kevin Winston. Like, he's a really good example. You know, when I talked to Quandre Diggs after he had asked for his release, you know, he told me how Winston is going to be a good one, and how he's a real one, and how he, you know, was really open to the things that he had, you know, the gems that he had to pass down to him. So I think it is getting soaked in, but, I mean, it could soak in as much as you want. But if you don't have enough players to win, like, you're not going to win, and that's where they are.
TD, I'm going to ask you a somewhat ridiculous question, but, I mean, par for the course. That's what I do. So I was talking with PK about this yesterday, and I realize in real life you cannot do this. But if you were Mike Borgonzi, and you could guarantee that you could fix one thing this offseason, like, you're looking at all these different positions of needs that they've got, which is a ton, as you know, and you were guaranteed one that would come in and you fix it, what is it? Is it wide receiver? Is it edge rusher? Is it something else? Where do you think that starts for Borgonzi this offseason?
That's a very good question, because you're like, okay, well, if they get a pass rusher, the defense would be that much better. Then, like, if they get a receiver, they'll score points. I'm going to go, they would get a playmaking receiver, an A.J. Brown, that type, right? And the reason why I'm going to go there is because this team is averaging 14 points a game.
Ugh.
14. So, to me, it's just completely uncomplimentary football. But there's two phases that I think are satisfactory, right? And I think if you get the offense up, now that's going to make everything else better. So give me the receiver. Go ahead and get Carnell Tate out of Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying.
He's pretty good.
He is.
Ohio State receivers for the most part, like,
do pretty well.
For the most part, yeah, you're gonna end up being happy. All right, so gotta ask you about Cam Ward, but let me ask you this, TD. We were talking earlier about, you know, look, I mean, there's people who are like, he is a total bust. He's you know, no chance. And there's people who, oh, there's no question he's going to be great. I kind of tune out both sides. I don't know how anybody can pretend to know. But one thing that bothers me is, like, people who, and this is an NFL thing, and I frankly, I think a lot of the NFL media at large probably watches as little Titans as any team, and I don't blame them, by the way. But people who are judging Cam Ward purely on, like, the metrics, the underlying numbers, along with, you know, the traditional stats, I just have a problem with that. When you, obviously for you, you're covering a team, you watch every play. I don't think there's anything that can replace that. But what do you value when it comes to other, like, what you look at, you know, to match up with your eyes on, like, a quarterback in this league?
What or who?
Yeah, what do you value? I'm statistically speaking, you know what I mean? Because, again, some people out there who are just – they're throwing everything. And, again, I like, though. I mean, I think there's value in a lot of these things. But I guess beyond traditional stats, what do you value in that world?
Yeah, so if you're looking at numbers and beyond just the standard passing yards, touchdowns, and interceptions, to me, one of the things that I look at is completion percentage as well as average per completion. You know, that's something. I look at third downs. I look at red zone. And I just look at those things because those are really the measurables you look at and you hone in on when you're looking at any quarterback. So it's like third down and red zone. Okay, how is he in the clutch? You know, what are some of the things that he's done in those situations? Okay, how frequently is he completing passes? And are they just check down? So are they, you know, 9 to 10 yards per attempt, like that kind of situation? So that's what I look at. But ideally, it's not a number that you're focusing on, right? You're looking at how is he operating the offense. You're looking at, like, what is he doing down to down? How is he under pressure? Those types of things. And you really could only tell that, like, when you're watching the game and getting a feel for how he has everything flowing.
So another stat, and Robbie brought this up, but I did not realize it was on this pace. It's crazy to me. But apparently, you know, Cam Ward on pace to be sacked 70 times, which is just an awful number. So that number with him, how much, and I'm not looking for like exact number of this many are on him, but he does drift and things like that. Like, how much of the sack issues are you putting on him right now?
I mean, look, I think there's a good amount of them. And there was improvement last week. Like, even though he got sacked, what, 3 times, I think it was?
Yeah.
Maybe 4?
That was 4, yeah, 4.
He did an awesome job. Let me not say that. He did a good job, a solid job, getting the ball out a little bit quicker, right? And then you could tell it in the numbers, right? 2.9 is his regular average seconds, you know, snap to throw. He was at 2.6. Now, obviously, a lot of it was game plan, but, you know, and knowing that you got those guys coming off the edge, so you want to get the ball out quicker. So I think that's something that he's working to do better, but that's been a big thing. And you hit the nail on the head, right, when you talked about being in the pocket, right, the pocket awareness. You don't have to flee an empty pocket. You know what I mean? Like, it's calm. Don't flee it. Like, move within it to find your passing lanes. But he's done that times where he ran into sacks. And then you just got, you know, just sitting in there and getting sacked and not getting the ball out. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that go into the sacks that he's caused. And I think he does have a good fair share of those and the guilt in that.
So, TD, I mean, look, you mentioned the Titans' record is what it is. They've actually gotten some better defensive performances than I thought possible at times with the roster that they've thrown out there so far this year. But every now and then you run across a game on the schedule like we did a few weeks ago with the Colts where it looks real bad heading into it. And there's another one coming up this week in Seattle who is not perfect, but they got a really darn good defense, as you know. And, you know, they're a good football team, a contender in the NFC. It's a 2-touchdown favorite on the road. So what do you make of this? How do the Titans hang in there in this one on Sunday against a very good Seattle team.
Yeah, man. And look, judging from this weather, they brought the rain with them too. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think the main thing is going back to running the football, right? And it's going to be tough because 78 yards a game going against a team that's, what, sixth? Yeah, sixth, allowing like 95 yards a game. So you got to run the ball. And I think by doing that, that calms everything down. Look at what Cam Ward told me on Wednesday when I asked him about, you know, the rushing attack helping a young quarterback. You know, he said it allows you to establish physicality. It allows you to, you know, work play action. And he's right. You know, when you work the play action, the passing lanes open, et cetera. So it's a long-winded answer in regards to what they have to do, which is run the football, and that's really going to settle the offense.
Is it time to seriously give Spears more work? And give him more carries and see what he can do?
I would look at doing that. I talked to Tony Pollard yesterday, and he said there is room to be a little more dedicated to the run. So maybe give both of them more carries. But it's just so hard to when you like it's first and 10, and you get a false start. It's first and 15. You know you're not calling a run play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then even you look at the average per carry, both of those guys are under 4 yards. So it's not like, you know, you got one guy at you know, close to five and another one at 3.9. And it's like, hey, you know, give him the ball more. I think they just got to get more first downs and just be more efficient. And then both of those guys could get more touches.
TD, last thing I'll say is I hope, you know, I don't have any expectation that this thing is going to go well on Sunday. I hope we're not again after this game talking about a decision, you know, in like the 25-yard line of the opposition to either kick a field goal on fourth and one or punt.
If so, you may have to put Karski in a straight jacket.
Yeah, you might have to just go ahead and get him out of there.
Yeah, man. He looks like he's going to blow a gasket. You know, that
even more than normal.
He and McCoy, like, it's funny banter. You know, I had to chime in on it this time.
Oh, you did, yes.
Like, you know, it's. I don't want to say it's frustrating, but it is frustrating. It's not frustrating because I'm a fan. It's frustrating because, like, yo, what are you doing?
What does he have to lose, like, you know?
Like, exactly. You got nothing to lose. It's like the animal that's backed into a corner. That's the most it's supposed to be the most dangerous one because he's going to do whatever he got to do to live. They don't have much more lives to live. Like, you're 1-9.
It's I can see that
amazing.
Maybe you and PK both might need to take a time out, huh?
No, you know, it's just heightened. You know, even though I'm from a much more highly populated city, being here, the traffic still irks me. So, I'm like Michael Douglas right now, falling down.
Remember? Oh, don't do that.
Oh, boy. Well, this season, I think, is doing it to all of us. Exactly. I think it is. TD, yeah. Great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and enjoy yourself this weekend.
I appreciate it, man. You guys take it easy.
Teron Davenport with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. And fueled by Parman Energy, TD does a great job covering the Titans for ESPN. We will react to what TD had to say coming up next. We've got Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.